What is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a little bit of breaking news for you. This being reported by the AP. RFK Jr. says he is suspending, not ending, his campaign. His campaign states that he has, quote, not endorsed Donald Trump. Weird. A little bit surprising. Stay tuned. I'm sure more to come on that. Maybe, you know, RFK Jr. is doing in a bit of a negotiation, you might say, with the former MAGA president. Maybe that's what's happening. We've got a great guest for you this afternoon. Every day, we are going to have Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. Why? Because it's always about the money, people. And we've got to actually follow the money and see how it's, you know, sorting out for the middle class as we approach November and casting all of our ballots on November 6th. The Patriotic Millionaires are a group of millionaires who are indeed patriotic. What do they mean by patriotic? They mean that they think rich people like themselves should pay more in tax. Huh. Go figure. I never thought it would be all that unusual or, I don't know, controversial to say rich people should pay a larger percentage of their income in tax than middle-class working people should. I don't know why that's such a problem. It is for the MAGA cult. They also believe that the most profitable, most consistently profitable, largest corporations in the United States should also pay their fair share. Because why? To sell your products in the United States, you got to have people that can afford to buy them. To operate a corporation successfully in the United States, you need workers who earn enough so that they are coming to work healthy, ready, and able to work. You need people with health care. You need educated workers, all of these things. But friends, it always boils down to the money, money, money. And we want you all to be as informed as you possibly can rolling into November 6th. So it is my privilege to introduce to you Stephen Prince, the vice chair of the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, what's important about Stephen, friends, is that he was born, I would say the word, you know, working class. Your family was struggling. Stephen, born in Waycross, Georgia. He's got the best accent you'll hear on Midwestern radio. And in 1993, he founded National Business Products, which is now known as Card Market Inc. This is a gift card and in-store marketing material production company. Basically, he sells a lot of gift cards, like a lot of gift cards. He sold the majority of his company in 2019, and he is focused on his real estate investments, traveling, and his efforts to make the U.S. what it was before, in Stephen's words, before greed and short-sightedness took over the country. So we're going to talk about America the Rich. Welcome, Mr. Stephen Prince.
Thank you, Maggie. It's great to be here.
Listen, why, just in your own words, Stephen, why are you here today? Why is this really important to you to frankly tax yourself and probably a bunch of your buddies more?
Well, you know, you already laid out a lot of the argument as to why it makes sense that those of us that can should pay more than we do. And I'll come back to some of that later. But the point that I keep trying to make to all of my right-wing conservative buddies, and they have to understand, the majority of my friends who are wealthy, and the majority of my friends are wealthy, they don't share my opinion much at all. Maybe three or four of the 15 or 20 people that are good friends of mine that are also very wealthy. And I tell them, I said, you know, let's put your greed aside. Let's just talk about the pragmatic issue of putting more money into the stream of commercial activity in the country. It's bad business to leave all the money in the pockets of a very few who don't need new cars. I don't need any underwear. I've got all the socks I'll ever need. I've got plenty of cars. I'm not buying stuff. Put it in the hands of the people who, A, can't really afford it, and B, who will go out and buy the stuff. So I contend that the economy, look what the economy did when the government stuck all that cash into our pockets in 2020 and 2021 from in the COVID relief. What happens? The economy goes up and poverty goes down. Poverty plummeted in the United States because we put money in the pockets of people who needed it and who would spend it. 66% of the United States economy is consumer driven. And so if you don't have money in the pockets of consumers, you're hurting your economy, which is obviously significant to all of us. So I don't see how anybody's not screaming from the top of the tallest buildings about this same issue. But I do, because it comes down to one very simple human frailty, and that's greed. It really comes down to greed. And in the defense of my friends, they don't really see it as greed. You go back to the godfather of Republican of contemporary society, and that's Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan gave everybody the pass with these nine words. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And so it gave everyone a pass to hate the government. And what that's really code for is not pay any more taxes. I don't want to pay any more taxes because the government's going to waste it. They lose sight of the fact that the fire department and the repair of the potholes and the FAA and even our military, those are all government programs. You know, I get called a socialist all the time. And I tell people all the time, so let me tell you something. We've got a socialist government. It's just socialist for the wealthy. That's what it is. I mean, the government right now is structured to the benefit of the wealthy, and the working class, honest to goodness, don't understand it. They don't get it. But anyway, that's why I'm here. I can't help myself. I have no control over this. It's a visceral reaction, and I have to be involved and be engaged.
I appreciate that, Stephen, and I appreciate the fact that you are so clear about it. We have socialism. It is socialism for corporations and the wealthiest Americans. Whether it is greed, ignorance, being frankly brainwashed by folks like Reagan, and as if there's something wrong with paying your fair share. It is not unfair to rich people to ask them to contribute more. Their businesses move products on the roads that middle class tax dollars pay for, right? Like, this is how economics works. These are integrated actors within a capitalistic democracy. And it's simply, when you look at this from a medium and long-term sustained economic growth perspective, it is anathema that a country like the United States is not investing more, frankly, by lowering taxes. Whether you lower someone's taxes or you hand them money, it is economically exactly the same from the government perspective, but investing more, lowering taxes, so that we are always assured to have a vibrant middle class. I'll put this in terms that maybe might make folks feel a little uncomfortable. We need a vibrant consumer class. We have a consumer-driven economy. If middle-class families can't buy cars or iPhones or fancy sneakers or coffees or groceries or homes because we've priced them out of those markets, because we have created such grotesque wealth inequality in this country, that is not going to bode well for any business in the country. Again, I think that greed and frankly a bit of a short-term time horizon has really created, and you know, 40, 50 years of constant messaging that taxes are bad, that paying your fair share is something you should avoid doing, we've ended up where we are. I wanted to note this fundamental concept, which you alluded to, Stephen, and that is, this is going to sound fancy, don't turn your radio dials, everybody, the concept of diminishing marginal returns. This is a very basic concept. You learn it in one, likely your first microeconomic class. But what it means is that, listen, the first Rolls Royce that I buy, ooh, that's going to be real valuable to me. But the 100th Rolls Royce has very little value to me. I stop buying Rolls Royces. You view that from a different perspective, simply for someone who has nothing, $1,000 is everything. To someone who has billions, $1,000 means nothing. Isn't that really what we're talking about?
Well, you know, the marginal return concept is a fairly complex one for the vast majority of people. In fact, I know a lot of even wealthy people that you'd have to explain it to them for them to understand. I mean, they're far beyond that. I mean, like you say, I mean, I go out and spend $1,000 on a meal like some people would spend $50 on a meal. I don't mean that to sound arrogant or you know, the way it probably does sound, but it's just $1,000 just doesn't mean that much to people that are in my category. And golly, I'm trying hard not to sound arrogant and snootish about it, but that's actually the truth. But you put $1,000 in the pockets of a working man, working woman, a mechanic, a carpenter, a school teacher, that's significant. I mean, they can pay bills with that. They can buy a new television. They can put a new transmission in their car. They can do all kinds of things that are meaningless to us. And we those of us that have enough money, we lose sight of that. And I just think it's criminal that I don't know what's more criminal. It's the fact that the people who have the money and understand this refuse to change, or that the large percentage of people in the country, primarily where I live down here in the South, is they don't understand that. They're being sold this bill of goods. They're buying it hook, line, and sinker, and they're voting for the wrong programs. They're voting for the wrong people. They're voting against their own best interest, and it breaks my heart to see it. I hate to see them continue to do this, and we've been doing it for 50 years now. Since yes. 1973, when the first big tax cut was started, back when the effective tax rate was 91%, we've slowly gotten ourselves down to where it's now 37%, and corporations are only paying 21%. We can't run the government on that kind of revenue. We've got to increase revenue.
We're going to hit a few more of those numbers when we come back. My guest this half hour, my special friend, now your rich guy friends, you can know what it is to be rich in the United States. We'll define that exactly, because I'll say it very clearly. I think a lot of working middle class people have been sold a bunch of hogwash about what it means to actually tax the rich. Ain't nobody coming for your paycheck or your checking account. So stay tuned. My special guest, Mr. Stephen Prince, the vice chair of Patriotic Millionaires, because it is Maggie and the Millionaires, and we are talking money. We'll be back after these important messages. Can't buy you love, but it sure can pay for a lot of really helpful things if you're in the middle class. Housing, education, healthcare, groceries, you know, amongst the very obvious. I think, you know, my guest this half hour, Stephen Prince, vice chair of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking every day with millionaires because what our tax policy says, how it impacts middle class and working families in this country, is, in my opinion, if not the one of the most important issues that are on the ballot this fall. And in short form, if you think that the rich should pay more than working people, you're going to be voting for one particular candidate. If you think corporations that are incredibly profitable should be paying their workers a fair minimum wage, a middle-class family sustaining minimum wage, there's only one candidate. So happy to have my special guest here from the Patriotic Millionaires, again, Stephen Prince. He is the former CEO. He sold off the majority of his company in 2019 of National Business Products, now known as Card Market. They sold in-store marketing materials, basically gift cards, a whole lot of them. He himself is a millionaire. And Stephen, we were talking about some really key baseline statistics that when you put them all together are pretty gosh darn shocking. And I think they stand as a complete and total rebuke of arguments about, well, the economy will shut down if we tax rich people more, or, oh, we won't have any businesses left in the U.S. if we tax corporations more, because that simply isn't what happened in our past. And we haven't seen that happen in the near term before Donald Trump's tax cuts of 2017 went into effect. You mentioned, what was the marginal income tax rate after World War II, Stephen? Because I want people to remember these facts.
91%. But making that clear now, that doesn't mean if you make $1 million, you're going to pay $910,000 in taxes. What it means is as you go up in income, your rate gets progressively higher. And if the top is at, let's say, $100 million, when you make 110, you may pay 91% on the 10 extra, but you paid progressively less as you went down. But Maggie, let me talk about one thing, and that is the corporations, because corporations are getting a triple pass on this whole situation. They're living off the fruits of the U.S. government in terms of education, infrastructure, all the things that these multi-billion-dollar corporations have made money on. And I'm 100% in support of them. I'm a capitalist to my very core. I'm about as far from being a socialist as a guy can be, but as it relates to the government helping people, I am. But here's my point, is that all these big companies are doing something I think is criminal. And that is, they're taking billions of dollars of profit made on the backs of the U.S. government, the U.S. economy in general, and doing stock buybacks. Now, who do stock buybacks benefit? One group and one group only, the stockholders. They could have taken some component. I think a law should be passed that said, if you're going to do a $5 billion stock buyback, some part of that ought to go to raises to your employees, or at least bonuses to your employees. You should not be able to put all of that money into the pockets of the stockholders and not give some value of that back to the employees who made the money, who created the money. I just think it's criminal. And that's the sort of thing that's going on in the country. And the working class just don't see it. They're fooled by gun control and the border and abortion, all very real issues. I'm not implying for a second that those issues aren't real substantive issues that need to be dealt with. But those are smokescreen on the part of these people who have one thing in mind: money, money, money. It all comes down to money and tax law, and they're fooling you into believing that they give a damn about these other issues when in fact they don't. All they want to do is make sure they have the right people in office that are going to give them continued tax reductions so they can keep more of their money.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. Again, top marginal income tax rate following World War II, and it was until, I believe, the early 60s at 91%. Again, the simple math there, and I think that 91% marginal rate kicked in around $500,000 or so. So let's just assume, for argument's sake, please don't fact check me, I'm just pulling the number out of thin air, but I think that's about where it was. You will pay lower tax rates on every single of the dollars that you've earned, from the first dollar to the 500,000th dollar, but $500,001, that next $1, you would pay that 91% rate. Not like people don't have enough to live on if they're the very rich.
Let me interrupt for a second. So what the wealthy people don't understand, and what the working class don't understand, is those rich people, they're still going to be rich.
Correct.
They're still going to have three cars, three homes, two jets. They're going to have all the accoutrements that life will provide them with, but they're going to be paying into our government, into our economy, into America as an entity. And that's what's not happening. Let me tell you something. We're going down a dark road. The federal deficit right now is $34 trillion. It'll be $1.9 trillion more each year for the next 10 years. If we don't do something about it, our grandchildren ought to shoot us. We are so defaulting on our responsibility as stewards of this time. It's horrible.
Well, you don't have to take Steve or my words for it. Take Nikki Haley's word for it. I mean, when she was running for president And we could spend a whole show talking about how she's bent the knee. But when she was running for president, she said on a debate stage, you have Donald Trump and Republicans to thank for an $8 trillion increase in our nation's deficit. And it was largely due to the Trump tax cut. Again, just to close the thought out, top marginal income tax rate was 91%. Today, it is 37%. Folks, no rich people are going to become unrich if we tax them fairly. Thank you for making that clear, Steve. 10 years ago, the top corporate tax rate was 35%. Today, it is 21%. Frankly, it was 35% until Donald Trump's tax increases went into effect in 2018. And we still had lots of corporations and lots of billionaires and millionaires making lots of money. That didn't crush business in the United States, and it never would. In 1980, the estate tax on inheritance income over $650,000 was 65%. Today, rich heirs, without working a day, having never contributed to our economy in any way, shape, or form, can inherit up to $22 million and not pay 1 cent in federal estate taxes.
So wait a minute. So I was in North Carolina with a very, very wealthy friend of mine who I love to death, and he's building his second home up in the mountains of North Carolina, and he and I got in this estate tax thing, and he said, why should I have to give the money to the government instead of my children? I said, two reasons. One, your children didn't earn it. Correct. You earned it. They did not earn it. And two, when they get it, it's income. You call it inheritance if you want to, but it's income and they need to pay taxes on it.
I love it, Steve. When you inherit, it is income to you because you did nothing productive to receive that money. It is income and we should tax it accordingly. Steve, we could talk money forever. I hope to bring you back on the show sometime. What a pleasure. That's Stephen Prince, the vice chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, former CEO of Card Market Incorporated. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks so much, Steve. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be back in just a moment. More reflections on the DNC up next.
I'm rich, yeah.